Continuing with the subject of Tawheed, we will now look at the third stage of Tawheed, which is Tawheed in that none can order or none can forbid except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See, everything in this world is based on a precise calculation, precise logic, precise law. When we use an appliance, for example, we follow the instructions of the manufacturer to ensure its well-being and to be able to get to the full potential of that appliance. And we don't follow the instructions of anyone else, even if there is a similar thing created. Here we are the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To be able to reach our full potential, the Creator has provided us with a blueprint. There's a roadmap which illuminates all the winding paths of the world in the form of the Qur'an and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which was then carried forth by his Ahlul Bayt. To sincerely believe that his orders are the orders to follow is what develops the quality of taqwa in the human being. Taqwa is God consciousness. When you and I absolutely believe that He is the Creator and His instructions are the only ones that are going to lead to success, we start becoming conscious of the greatness of the Creator. And once we start becoming conscious and following those laws, we adopt the quality of taqwa. In Surah Al-Ma'idah, ayah 27, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah only accepts from the muttaqeen, those who are God conscious. And the basis of taqwa is the obedience of Allah with sincerity. Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahj al-Balagha, sermon 203, he says, do not pretend to obey Allah. Obey Him sincerely and faithfully. Let the desire of obedience be engraved in your minds and be deep-rooted in your hearts. Let it rule over your words and deeds. In sermon 196, he says, lead your life as a muttaqi, as one who is God-conscious. Make taqwa a habit in your life. Wipe out your sins with its help. It will cure all your moral diseases. Make it a means to provide for you His grace and blessings. Take a lesson from those who have disregarded it, and let not your life be a warning to those who want to understand how people without taqwa have fared in the world. So, once we apply taqwa into our lives, we become one who fulfills all the wajibat, that means everything that is made obligatory, and we keep away from all the muharramat, everything that is deemed haram. Now, very often you will find that when people try and translate the word taqwa, you will find this word which is called fear of God. And I'd like to talk about it because when we come across it, we think this is a Rabb whom we call Rahman and Rahim. Whenever we begin something, we say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We use the two aspects of Rahman and Rahim. So how come now here, every time we look at those who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are God-fearing. So what does God-fearing mean? So let's first look at the aspect or the topic of fear. There are two types of fear. You have one fear which is through ignorance, and the other fear is through knowledge. For example, when a child is afraid of going into a dark room alone, his fear is through ignorance because it is imagination. And maybe the best way to understanding it is fear is spelled F-E-A-R and it's false evidence appearing real. But for example, when a toddler reaches out towards a snake slithering in front of him and his mother rushes to save him for fear of him being bitten, her fear is that of knowledge. So when we talk about God-fearing, we're talking about the fear of Allah through knowledge. The more we understand His greatness, the more we observe and realize that there is none like Him. The greater the awe, the greater the respect, the greater the fear. And that's a positive fear, not a negative fear. It's awesomeness, it's respect. It's just like, and again when I explain to children, I say, if your mom wanted a cup of tea, and you liked your tea with milk, and she liked it black. If you gave her a weak tea with milk, she's going to drink it. She's not going to not accept it. But she would have liked it the way she wanted it. And that's, you know, and you're out there to feel, you feel fearful if you're not going to provide your mom with what she wanted. And it's a fear mixed with love. Don't like the word fear, but it's an awesomeness that we need to understand. You know, If you look at Hazrat Luqman alayhi salam in his words, he told his son, "Oh my son, have such fear of Allah." In other words, make it so awesome in your mind, the concept of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when you come to Him with the good deeds of both the worlds, think that He may still punish you. And have such hope in Him that if you came to Him with the sins of both the worlds, He would still have mercy for you. And Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salam says, there is no mu'min who doesn't have two lights in his heart. The light, the energy of fear, and the light of hope. Were one to be measured, it would not exceed the other. And probably that's the best way to understand what taqwa is. A feeling of both. A feeling of having tried your best and knowing that He is going to accept it. And also knowing that if you could have done a little bit more, do it. Push yourself. Now my words are still very inadequate to explain this balance between fear and hope, which makes one or qualifies one to be a muttaqi. So let's look at what are the characteristics of muttaqin, of those who are God conscious. And I've done this before, we've looked at them before, but repetition always helps. Quran says, enough at the dhikra. There is always a benefit in repetition. And I'd like to refer you to Surah Al-Furqan. This is Surah number 25 in the Quran. And we're looking at the last ayat, 66 to 75. It's an amazing list of qualities that a muttaqin should have. Well, let's have a look at these. Let's start from ayah 63. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ, and the abd of Allah, those who are connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ حَوْنًا وَإِذَا خَاتَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. They walk on the earth with humbleness. Their daytime activities are dominated by humility. They are humble. Look what he says. When the ignorant address them, they say peace. When they are insulted by ignorance, they punish the insult with kindness. So beautifully put. Look at what else he says. وَالَّذِينَ يَبِيتُونَ لِرَبِّهِمْ سُجَّدًا وَقِيَامًا, and they pass the night doing sajda before their Rabb and standing. At night, they do use part of their night in submission, sajda and standing to their Rabb. Let's go further. In ayah 65, it says, وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ, and there are those who say, رَبَّنَا عَصْرِفْ عَنَّا عَذَابَ جَهَنَّمْ, O our Rabb, turn away from us the punishment of Jahannam. إِنَّ عَذَابَ حَكَانَ غَرَامًا, the punishment thereof is of a lasting evil. So in other words, they ask for the punishment of Jahannam to be kept away from them because they have a powerful vision of Jahannam. And they say, إِنَّهَا سَاعَةٌ مُسْتَقَرًّا وَمُقَامًا, it's an evil abode and an evil place to stay. Then look at ayah 67. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنْفَقُوا لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتَرُوا وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ كَوَامًا, and they who when they spend are neither extravagant nor stingy, and they keep between these the just means. So if we paraphrase it, when they spend they are moderate, they're neither miserly nor do they go over the top. Let's look what else Allah says. Ayah 68, He says, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرَ وَلَا يَقْتَلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا يَزْنُونَ وَمَن يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ يَلْقَ أَثَامًا. And they who do not call upon another God with Allah, they do not slay the soul which Allah has forbidden except in the requirements of justice, and who do not commit zina, and he who does this shall find a requital of sin. يضاعف له الأذاب, the punishment shall be doubled to him. يوم القيامة, on the day of قيامة. ويخلد فيه محانا, and he shall abide therein in abasement. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here, now let me paraphrase this ayah. He says, they respect the sanctity of life. They do not commit adultery. They do not witness falsehood. It's so amazing the way he says it. When they pass by what is vain, they don't engage in it, and they walk away with dignity. Remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to say, إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَعَمَنَا وَعَمِلَ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَأُولَٰئِقَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيَّاتِ مَحَسَنَاتِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا, except the one who turns back, who repents and believes and does a good deed. So these are those whom Allah changes the evil deeds to good ones, and Allah is forgiving and merciful. He always shows a way out. It is so amazing the way he puts it. Everywhere there is a way out. There is a way to change, to be one who has taqwa. And finally, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِّرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ لَمْ يَخِرُوا عَلَيْهَا سُمَّا وَعُمْيَانَ. And when they are reminded of the communications of their Rabb, they do not fall down thereof deaf and blind. In other words, when exposed to the signs of their Rabb, they are attentive. And you know what they say? وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ, and they say, رَبَّنَا حَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَزُرْيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَاجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. And they say, our Rabb, grant us in our wives and our offsprings the joy of our eyes, and make us guides to those who are muttaqeen, who are God conscious. So their aspiration is to create a righteous family life. That comes first. You've got to understand that a human being needs to work himself or herself in concentric circles. You start with yourself, then your family, then your extended family, your friends, your neighbors, and so on and so forth. It's like a ripple effect, and it must work like that. And finally, I keep on saying this, but this is the last ayah here, which is so beautiful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that these are people who will be rewarded with high places because they were patient. Sabr. أُولَٰئِكَ يُجْزَوْنَ الْغُرْفَةَ بِمَا صَبَرُوا وَيُلَقُّونَ فِيهَا تَحِيَّةً وَسَلَامًا. And they will be met therein with greetings and salutations of peace. Sabr. What is sabr? It means doing your best, absolute best, and then handing it over to Him. Using all the resources available to do something. And then when you've done your best, hand it over to Him and have patience and know that it will work. Inshallah, we will continue with Tawheed, and we will now be looking at the fourth stage of Tawheed, which is Tawheed in that none can give benefit or deprive except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tomorrow.